Blog Talk Radio.
A free agent, unsigned and waiting. Been doing this shit since the 80s. Come and leave, made me. Midnight training. First round draft pick. Beware of this rap shit. Just like LeBron, I was born to be a champion. All I need is an all-star team. And plus I'm next, so that mean I'm on deck. I know I'm a player, fuck a Mitchell and S. MVP of the industry, rookie of the year. You can put me in the game, coach, only first string though. Most these cats can get down with my lingo. Swag so strong, he does it like he's professional. I will not lose, it's the motto. So I'ma do it like this though tomorrow. Go hard. So hard, hell motherfucker, and more part. I'm just writing, thoughts in my head, run the brain for a mind of a visionary. Flow colder than ice cream in February. Continue to crush mics, nigga, unnecessary. Violence just been laid off, nigga, secondary. Line dripping the grain, my pen is legendary. Fist of fury hitting harder than special teams trained by the military. It was written in my poem, future events and future disasters. I was born son of a mother, the seed of a bastard. Got the glow like the fist of a master. Karate kid dumping dead bodies in college behind garbage bins. Mind froze to their stakes, nigga, I find a man. Mama, I made it though, even with a crazy soul. In the eyes of a rich man, I'm aiming for.
Coming down the slope, flies first class, stepping the trapped by the coach. I know who I am, I'm different with my approach. Wanna hang me from a tree, but I never give you the rope. Feeling so captivated by hatred, we are surrounded. My music is a very strict parent, so I'm grounded. I remember having nothing empty in the gut. This mic is first aid, I just bandaged up a cut. Better days coming, but never seems often. My people out of hand, baking beans like Boston. Like a paradise, I just wanna roll. Everybody strapped, call it citizen patrol. Standing on the rock, straight at 6 o'clock. Hoping that you feel it, spread love to every block. Sipping on some drink, reminiscing about the past time. Roll me a J to help me pass time. Let's ride.
Riding, come and get me.
Then come and get me, man.
Rolling up through the town, you know what's going down. Pushing at it by 50.
We pushing up,
you know, boy. My people got them J's rolled up.
Rolled up. Come see how I earn. I tell it like it is. You can call me Howard Stern. Mama taught me how to grind. Never been a brat. If you don't understand, get to stepping like a frat. Go get your buggy. I got groceries coming. Check me out. And if you love me, keep supporting. That will help me out. I be going hard for my family like Russia. I send my heart to my daughter in Augusta. All we know is hustle. My culture ride or die. Keep a sniper in position for the vultures in the sky. Try to cruise through the pain. Got matter on my brain. I know big money coming. Now I'm looking for some change. Corruption in your mind. Destruction you will find. Be deep off in the hole with no place for you to climb. I be sipping on some drink, reminiscing about the past time. Roll me a J to help me pass time. Let's ride.
Riding, come and get me.
Then come and get me, man.
Rolling up through the town. You know what's going down. We pushing at it by 50.
We pushing up,
you know,
boy.
My people got them J's rolled up.
Rolled up.
Everybody wants it.
Give me my money.
Don't care who owns it. on her attitude. She didn't give a hoot. Now she out there a prostitute. John Doe with his pants hand. 14 running round game band. On the corner with his pants hand. The next thing you know, he out there singing. Yes, against shell. Before I knock you out. From the drug deal. Or either get killed. Off the sales of guns. Killing our young. Will it ever end? This had all begin. Dirty politics. Leader pulling a dip. You want a change in hope? Election time, make a change in vote.
Give me the money.
Everybody wants it.
Give me the money.
Don't care who owns it. Everybody needs it.
Give me the money.
If you let money make you.
Before I go, young people, yes, you need to know. Jane Doe's dead because the love of money. John Doe's dead because the love of money. They both dead and gone. They both lying alone in that quiet bedroom. They call the funeral home. They both dead and gone. They both dead and gone. They both dead and gone. They both dead and gone.
Give me the money.
We need to make a change.
Give me the money.
Because the love of money.
Give me the money.
We need to make a change.
Give me the money.
Because the love of money.
Give me the money.
We need to make a change. We need to make a change. We need to make a change. Yeah. We need to make a change. Because the love of money. Make a change.
You let money make you.
Even in the big house.
Money make
even do it in back to the house.
Money make you.
Even in the big house.
Money make
even do it in back to the house.
Money make you.
Put a price on your boat.
If you let money make you.
Take away your hope.
If you let money make you.
It's all about the money.
If you let money make you.
Give me the money.
If you let money make you.
It's all about the money.
If you let money make you.
Give me the money.
If you let money make you.
Alchemist,
in the cut,
Duck City music.
And we doing this one exclusively for the Duck City affiliates, man. All the movers and shakers out there that's getting it grinding, that take the time to fuck with Duck City,
we appreciate y'all,
we appreciate
man.
We're
gonna
take
the time to
salute y'all, man.
For you.
I gotta start off with my man Emilio Egbar, man. Harlem, New York, and this bitch. Non-stop radio,
non-stop radio.
A huge supporter of Duck City from day one. Salute. Can't forget my steady ground record.
Ground
keep lighting the whole SGR, man. We in here. You know what we about to do with this one. Also, can't forget my man DJ Kawan Jenkins. At DJKawan.com. Log on, man. He playing that fire all the time. Dallas, Texas. Montreal, Canada in this bitch. TopCharHipHop.com. What up, James? Let's go.
West Virginia, that's the place that I rep. And I'm a old school fool, remember making cassettes. I'm done with words, blazing your set. Amazing effect, and I'm quick to sun a nerve when I'm raising the tech. I caught a buzz off some shit that I wrote. Nothing but fly quotes, twist up and wish on the weed. I call it high hopes. My dope can't be stepped on. Too nice, lyrically I'm blue ice. I can't be slept on.
Nope.
Walter White in the booth. Bag it up, I'm awfully nice in the booth. You boys biting the booth. You don't spit the truth in the booth. You fucking, you don't do. You in the booth. Who threw you in the booth?
Who did that?
I'm on the yard.
On
West
the
Virginia
yard.
To Montreal. You spit, I wanna brawl. Money talk, I'm on the call.
Okay.
Running any cipher that you see me in. I am DMC, and this is DCM.
Duck City music, nigga.
Can't forget my man. Knowledge Busy Beats. The whole bar sing.
The whole bar sing.
Against the grain record.
The grain record.
We see y'all.
Salute. Cody Jet, Ron Hard Radio.
Ron Hard Radio.
Salute. Tweety B, Grown Folk Business.
Grown Folk Business.
Oh, I can't forget my man Lingo,
Rhymo
Cypher, New England in this bitch. My man J.O. the best, TGA, Trap got a feeling,
Trap got
North Carolina,
feeling.
Let's go.
I can't forget the Jews, man.
Melody Waters, Minneapolis, Minnesota in this motherfucker. We appreciate your support. HipHopRevival.com, my man TRG been doing that for a minute, man. Salute, man. I see you got a few views, internet geek rapper,
okay.
The man home, the fan zone where I keep rapping, but on the real, who told you that there's a future in it? You on the pills, I suppose you see the future in it. Don't let suspicious tweeting turn into a vicious beating,
what?
A punchline to have you spitting teeth and quick deleting. You ain't that nice, don't tell me how to use the beat.
Nah,
and I don't take rap advice from computer geeks.
Now,
and when I spit on the drum, they say that he the one, and all you niggas be
all
my sons,
niggas.
Call me Peter Guns, blaming your sets, leave your cranium wet when I run up on you rappers like stadium steps. Don't know me yet, just know that he important. I'm in the cup, but you can call me Neosporin if the beat is scorching. Scoliosis flowing, crippling backs. Yo, I'm killing these beats. These other cats is tickling tracks. I tried to tell him, man.
Nick Davis and the whole Almeida
music.
Back to the roots, man. We appreciate all your support, man.
Rapmonster.com,
man. My man always on Twitter showing love, man. Appreciate you. Yo, I can't forget my international fam. You know what I mean? Sixth Floor Records. Facts Productions. Appreciate you. Your skills is up there, baby. Bismarck Beats, man. You're having this shit sounding crispy, boy. You know?
Apologies to anybody who might have forgot, man.
Can't, you know, thank everybody individually. Fuck with Duck City,
Fuck with Duck City. And last but definitely not least, man, gotta log on to
DuckCity.com.
Get your swag right, You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Shout out Cookie Head Jinx.
Diagnosis.
The whole Duck City music,
Duck City, what you
fuck with,
dude.
All right. You guys, we are here for another episode of The Other Side. I am Pretty Bird, and I am here with my co-host, Playground the Don. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and what about yourself?
I'm feeling pretty good tonight. I'm excited. The holidays are coming up.
Yeah.
So I know y'all probably going to have a big thing over there, huh?
Well, you know, it won't be that big because of the COVID, but, you know, it's good to be around family. Even, you know, at this time, it's hard to be around a lot of people, but, you know, if family is family, you know, regardless of the fact.
Yeah. Family going to do what family going to do now. You know?
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, Thanksgiving,
we want
you got
everybody to be safe, though.
Yeah, everybody got to be safe. But, you know, Thanksgiving, you got to, you can eat without having an excuse. So, everybody like to eat.
Yeah. Everybody like to eat. There's some greedy folks around us. Okay, you guys, tonight we're going to get into some different topics and do some different things. We're going to get into some serious stuff, and we're going to play around a little bit. After a while, we're going to have some of the hosts from Real Talk Roundtable is going to be here tonight, so we're excited about having them come over and hang out with us. And last night, y'all, if y'all didn't listen to that show last night, you need to go over to Tweety Bird Central on Blog Talk Radio and click on that episode because we had a good time, didn't we?
Oh, man. Oh, we did. It was funny.
We did. We had a good time.
I was still thinking about my incident, but yeah, it was funny.
It was. It killed me, too. It was funny. You know, but you know, shit happens, and we do crazy stuff sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, what it is. Mhm. Okay. One of the things that I did want to get into, but I kind of want to hold off on it, and until some of the Real Talk Roundtable get here, because it's a serious issue for me. As far as the prison system. And the way things are set up in the United States. And we have terrible, terrible, like we have more prisons than anybody else. And you would wonder, why do we have more prisons than anybody else in the world? Are our people that bad? That's what one would think, right? So,
yeah.
After, right? You know, somewhat like that. But when you get into the Constitution and you really start to break things down, you could see where this was orchestrated and put together very well. You know what I'm saying? By somebody a long time ago that had to be very, very smart to pull this out for this long. Okay, so really, in the United States, it's supposed to be no more slavery. Okay, that's how it's supposed to be, right? But
exactly.
Really, how it is, how the Constitution is written, it's like it's no slavery. The only way you can be a slave is to be incarcerated in prison. Charged with something, you know, that's standing to you. That's the only way you can still be a slave in America is if you go to prison. So
it's organized really, now.
It really never went away. It just orchestrated differently. And we got to work on things to change that perspective and to change the Constitution to abolish slavery. If you're going to abolish it all the way. Don't put no little clauses in there, you know, that give the police reason to, you know, target certain demographics of people to incarcerate, right? So that's like, it's kind of a deep issue, but I want to get into it, and I want to touch on the private prison. Like, some of these prisons are privately owned within the state prison. The state prison is in really bad shape from what I'm hearing. The system is barely hanging on, y'all. And we already know how bad the jail system was before COVID. And now, and then before Trump. So now, with Trump and COVID, like, we really need to be praying for the people in prison. We say that, you know, the people in prison, they did a bad thing, and that's where they deserve to be, and they get what they deserve. But you don't wish nothing like that on anybody, because some of those people that's sitting in prison are there, and they have done absolutely nothing to be there. So, you know, it's like, it's a hard topic to really touch on in a couple hours because it's so big. But with the private prison systems, like, they don't have to go by the same rules and regulations set by the state. So the overcrowding and the mistreatment of the prisoners and stuff like that is really, really bad. And it's really, really bad in the South. More so than anywhere else in the world. And that's where we live. And I wanted to touch on some of the things in Alabama, just Alabama alone, when it comes to state prisons. And so I want to get into this little clip right quick. And I got it from the infographic show over on YouTube. You guys follow them. They have these little cartoon stories that tell a lot of information about some of the things you might want to know in a few minutes. So we're going to play a little bit of this, and we're going to come back and discuss it. It's really quick, but I wanted y'all to hear just some of the things that's going on in the Alabama state prison.
The Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department investigated a number of state prisons in Alabama, and their findings were deeply disturbing. Prisoners left face down, dead in their cells for so long that their faces rotted and flattened. There were other evidence that prisoners had been tied up and tortured for days on end. Attacks included a prisoner being doused with shaving cream so dangerously hot that it left a prisoner with second-degree chemical burns, and a prisoner having industrial bleach poured onto their skin before being beaten senseless with a broom handle. According to some Justice Department reports, some Alabama state prisons have murder rates at 8 times the national average. The lack of funding also means security standards have slipped, with prisoners sneaking in contraband like drugs and improvised weapons. These same Justice Department reports have reported rudimentary improvised knives, guns, hammers, and even small swords. Sexual violence also runs rife in many state prisons, with guards underqualified or simply unwilling to intervene and help. In order to make up for being understaffed, state prisons often force guards to work grueling hours for very little pay. Fusing exhausted, understaffed prison guards with frustrated, overcrowded, and often violent prisoners creates a dangerous powder keg. Federal investigators describe the violations of prisoners' Eighth Amendment rights as severe, systemic, and exacerbated. Even the most well-staffed prisons.
Okay, that's just a little bit. That's just a little bit of some of the stuff that's going on inside the Alabama state prisons that I find disgusting and inhumane. To let somebody's body rot in their cell face down is like the most degrading thing I have ever heard. It upsets me to a point to where it's just, it takes your breath away. Because imagine being in a cell with that, or the cell next door or across, from a smell like that, or from somebody that
you know
was talking to a few days ago. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just, what are your thoughts? What do you think?
But, you know, to bring it home, to bring it home, even in Lee County, man, you have, like, over, just say, the last 10 years, in Lee County, you have had a lot of deaths just in Lee County. From where I had a friend, man, he died in Lee County, and come to find out that it is because he wasn't taken care of, but he was a diabetic and wasn't taken care of. They weren't giving him his medicine. You know, so I think it's a form of slavery. I think the Constitution, it gives you rights, but you're going to give me rights, but then you're going to say, okay, I'm going to give you these rights, and then X, Y, and Z, we're going to take away all of your rights. We're going to put you in here. I got a car wash business, and sometimes, well, not with the COVID going on, but, you know, you can get people out on work release. Okay, you get them out on work release. They work all week. You pay them at the end of the week. You have to write the check to the county, and at the end of the day, the county take over half of their check and say, okay, I guess this is for maybe the cost of living or maybe the food. They don't even feed you right, but you paying all this money, and then when you do work on the inside, I got friends, man, that is in real prisons, not just the county, but real prison, and they're doing work, and they're doing the hard manual labor and only getting paid like $2-3 a month. You know, and then they'll say, well, you know, well, we're gonna take this, and it's going to be for your food and your clothing, your shelter. I know some guys, they complain about the winter is too cold because they won't run the heat, and the summer is too hot because they won't run the air conditioner. You know, so
right.
My thing is, if you don't want to take care of me, then let me go. You know, I don't agree with the prison system. A lot of guys are getting time for something that's supposed to be legal, but it's not. I can understand you going to prison for a murder, a real violent crime, but you got people in the county that's going to jail for traffic violations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I don't know. And once you get in there, then you treat me dirty, you know. So my take is I don't agree with the prison system. I don't agree with jail, period. You know, I'm not saying that it shouldn't be there, because if you break certain laws, I think that you should get jail time. Murder, child molestation, real serious crimes, you know. But this petty stuff, I mean, you already don't want to take care of the person. So why give them so much time on something so little that they're in there and then they're worse than they was when they was out here?
Now, that's a good question that you bring up. Why do they do that? Because that doesn't seem logical. Why would they do that? Right? They would do that because they are making money off of the prisoners. It's no different than the plantation work. It's no different than that, other than it's transformed into a different system. And see, this is why black people got mad at me for expressing how I was feeling about Kamala. But Kamala locked a lot of black people up. She locked up more black people than the white people that were in her position before her. So she was known for doing this and for giving them time for stuff like extra time, like time that didn't make no sense for crime. You know what I'm saying? That was, you know, not that serious. And it was all about the money. So see, that was my problem. It's still my problem with Mrs. Kamala. And those are the facts. It's not something that I'm making up. You go look it up, you'll find it. You'll see that yourself. But that was, you know, those were the choices we had. It was either them or this racist that I would never cast my vote for. I'm never going to vote for a racist, because a racist going to always be against me and my people. And so that's not going to work for me, period. I don't care what you agree with and don't agree with. And some of the stuff that, you know, he says makes sense. Some of it, you know, when it comes to, you know, some of the things that people trying to do on the low. You know, so, you know, he's just an idiot, though. And I can't rock with an idiot and a liar. I cannot rock with a liar, because a liar, okay, the first thing you know is that he lied. So how could you believe anything that he say to you? I don't understand that. And I don't understand his followers. It doesn't matter what he lies about, they're going to always be with it. Like, they're going to always make an excuse for it, or it was a reason behind it, or something like that. That's what I don't understand about him and his followers. It's weird. But anyway, we have some of Real Talk Roundtable here. We got Ms. Knack. I'm going to put Ms. Knack in here with us. How you doing, Ms. Knack?
I am good. I was glad that I could make it, because I was rushing. I was like, I gotta come. But
yeah,
I was, before I called in, I was listening in the car, and I heard the clip that you had played, and I was like, wow, it is crazy, like, just the way they treat people in the system. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm like, I understand that somebody committed a crime, but that don't mean that you treat them like a damn slave while they're in there. And it's crazy y'all brought this up, because my daughter's father is in jail, and he actually called and told us that he has COVID. So I'm on the phone with him, like, how the hell did you get COVID while you're in jail? I mean, what in the hell?
Right.
And he said the only thing that he can think of is that he could trace back in his mind is him being around the CO, and the CO happened to be sick. So yeah. They don't even care enough about, you know, these inmates to keep these six COs out of the jail so they can keep these people safe. They don't give two fucks about none of that, you know?
No,
and it's
okay. In state prisons, it's like 74% of what they need to actually work to full capacity when it comes to the COs and stuff like that. Like, they already working on a 74% employee rate. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
If they start losing more to COVID, they ain't gonna have nobody to run the jail, and the prison don't pay.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't even know.
So that's what's
happening. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Crazy.
Yeah, and some of them are less than that. Like, those are the good ones at 74%. But I'm sorry,
that's crazy.
I just wanted to put that
you're good.
In there.
Yeah, I didn't know that, and that's crazy to me. So now it kind of makes more sense as to why they would let them just come in there being sick, whatever, that they don't even care, because they can't afford to even, like, not have them there if that's all they, you know,
mm-hmm.
all they have. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it really is sad, and you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, well, these are people who committed crimes, why do you care about how that they're being treated? Because they're human beings. Regardless, you know what I'm saying, of what you feel like they may or may not deserve. We're talking about human beings here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the condition
mm-hmm.
that you are in is, I mean, it's just absolutely horrendous. And listen to that clip that you played. I was just like, oh my God, people laying down face first, dead for days. Who does that?
Yeah. Right.
Who
and
does that?
All of the things that they mentioned is true, and it's happening because I have had people that been in there, you know what I'm saying, and come back out and tell stories that you just would not believe that it's happening
right.
in their jail. And the overcrowding is terrible
right.
in our jails. You know, so
right.
it's something that, okay, now that the Democrats have spoken, okay, and we hoping that Georgia pull it together and the Democrats be leading, so, you know, ahead of the game so we can get some stuff done. But the people that we have put in office, y'all, we need to go behind them now and say, okay, now what are you going to do about these prisons? You know, because this is a major problem going on inside of the prison, outside of what we got going on out here. And you may say, well, they in jail, and this is what they deserve, and they couldn't,
no.
you know, did a crime or something like that. But, hell, we ain't do nothing, and the shit got released on us. You know what I'm saying? And what kind of prison
so
we in? Or is we in one and y'all ain't saying nothing about it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's really going on?
That's right. That's right.
You know?
And then
it's
hard to get the government to put their foot down on a privately owned facility.
Mm-hmm.
They can say we can do this, that, and the other, but it really comes down to that owner of that prison to make a change
right.
in
That's
that
what
prison.
I'm saying. So they don't even have to go
right.
by the state regulations at all as far
exactly.
as how many inmates is in a cell or how they feed them or take care of them or nothing.
Right.
And that's not right. I don't think that's just like saying, okay, you let me own however many slaves locked up in this prison. Those are my slaves because
right.
I own this jail. I mean, come on now. We got to do better.
Why?
We got to do better.
The question, too, is why is that even allowed to
exactly.
have privately owned prisons or jails or whatever? Like, why is that even allowed?
It's about money. It's all about money. I mean,
right.
it's a business. It's a business for the privately owned people. Man, just in July, Bibb County and Bibb County Prison had like 94 cases in one pod when there was 200 and something guys in one pod, and nobody was moved out of that pod.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, if you see, I've heard so many stories. Hell, I was locked up for like 13, 14 hours, y'all, and this is a crazy story. Oh, it's something I didn't even do. It was some old paperwork about some chat family court between me and Naya's biological father. It was a whole bunch of mess. Nonetheless, make a long story short, you know, the paperwork had been filed, but obviously, you know, the paperwork wasn't filed the way it should have been. So I had a capias out for me for a missed court date that had been taken care of like 5 years prior to me getting arrested. This happened a couple years ago. And so, you know, I get there, you know, the lady that pulled me over, she was really a very nice person, cop. She was really good to me. I'll give her that. And she said, honey, I wasn't even going to take you in, you know, because she pulled me over my backpacks or whatever and found out that I had this open, you know, open capias or whatever. And she was like, you know, you'll be in and out, whatever. Granted, I'm looking at her like, I don't even want to go. Like, I know damn well I ain't do shit, but whatever, we'll handle it when I get there. So when I had never been, you know, in jail before, ever. That was the first time. And I get in there, get booked. And it's like 15 people in like one little small holding cell. So I'm looking like, well, what the fuck am I gonna sit up here and do with everybody in here on top of everybody laying on the floor on a thin piece of a I don't even know what it was, y'all. I guess a so-called piece of a damn pad or some shit. Yeah, yeah. Like a mattress pad, basically. And I was in there like, oh, my God. And the food that they had served us, whenever you can't even identify it, why are you serving somebody that shit? And I just thought about, you know, this is just the regional jail. You feel what I'm saying? This is how they're treating me in the regional jail. Can you imagine what the prisons are like if this is just the regional jail? And y'all in here serving people food that you can't even identify? Dirty, trifling, just filthy, you know, place to be. And it's just really appalling that you really let people live in that type of environment and you don't even care nothing about it. Nothing about it. It was really sad. It's really sad. Cause I got a little small dose of what it's like, you know, and I just know it's crazy to me how they treat you.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. Once you go in there, you are not a citizen. Like, it's almost like you're not a citizen no more. Like, you belong
exactly.
That jail system.
You're not.
And that's
because
it.
They take away your name. They take away your name. They give you
AIS. Yeah, they give you a number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to do what they say. You might as well say, okay, let's take away the Army and the Navy. And take everybody from the prison and put them in the Army and Navy. That'll be fair.
Right.
That's how you treat me. Right. You know, you tell me what to do.
Right.
I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, I can get out when only you tell me, you know.
Right.
You say you pay me for the work I do. I keep up the city. I had to go out and pick up the trash off the side of the road. I cut the grass for the city. I do everything you tell me to do, and then I come back. And all you can say is, okay, my purge is $1,000. I got to get up $1,000 to get out, but then you give me $2 a month. You know how long it take to get up to $1,000 with $2 a month?
Mm-mm. Right.
Something got to change. Something got to change. It's got to change. And one of the issues, y'all, that is really a problem in our community is the drugs. The drugs, you know, the sentencing that they're giving out for some of these drugs ought to make people think twice before they even think about fooling with some drugs. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they're trying to take your life away for drugs now. So you ought not to even want to fool with no drugs. But we had a discussion on total blackness. And this is Verbal Kent. I want y'all to listen to Verbal Kent and what he has to say. And I want to know if you agree or disagree with his thoughts on drugs and the community.
Hey.
Oh, y'all wrong track. Let me find. Okay, while I'm looking for this, I don't know what's in here. Okay, here it is right here. Hang on, watch it.
I'm going to come from a different perspective, right? Because of the fact of my background. You know, I've been hustling for a long time. And I'm talking about, I ain't talking about just penny pitching and hustling. I'm talking about hustling as far as getting real money and real in the hustle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
When you're speaking on that term, I've seen the shit from the ground level as far as the impact that they had on the community, right? As far as the dope that was in the community. Regardless of who brought the dope did the damage to the community, right? Okay.
Right.
So, once you get into the aspect of people getting locked up, Anton touched on Biden locking all these people up. You know what I'm saying? For one, Biden's law was a federal law. It wasn't a state law. 90% of the people that's locked up today is in state prison. So that's a misconception that a lot of people have about what happened as far as his bill go. But when you go back to the time whenever crack was ravishing our communities, women didn't feel safe in the community, children didn't feel safe in the community, and old people didn't feel safe in the community. And that shit was brought about by greed from black men. Let's go ahead and keep it all the way 100. We can't blame white people for all the ills that go on in the black community.
Right.
If it weren't for people, for us black men, I'm one of the ones, I ain't taking no shots at nobody, that I don't take it myself, you know what I'm saying? But because we wanted that fast money, we wanted that glory, we wanted them women, we wanted all the motherfucking things that came with the game. So we chose to go out here and sell dope. Even though you can look around in America, and ain't nobody in America, lily white when it comes to their business practices. Everybody got some shit going on underhanded.
Hold on
now. It is what it is. You know, that's the environment we live in. And if you part of that environment, you're going to take on some of the characteristics of that environment.
Mm-hmm.
But because black men took it upon themselves, the majority of us, to sell dope and to deal with the consequences later, that enabled people like Joe Biden to have to come up with these laws. You know what I'm saying? Because didn't nobody put no gun on nobody's head and say, listen, you need to sell this. We're going to put this dope in your community, but you got to sell it. Nah, we made a choice to sell it. We know plenty of people that was in the community that said, nah, I ain't fucking with that dope. I'm not selling it. I'm going to come from a different perspective, right?
Okay. So, what are y'all's thoughts on that? Are you agreeing with this? Are you disagreeing with his thoughts on that and drugs in the community and the contribution to the prison system and how it's set up? I want to get your thoughts on his view and the way he looks at drugs in our community having an impact on, you know, the numbers in the prison system. So, what are your thoughts, Playground, on his perspective on where he's coming from?
Well, as a black man, a man that has been in the streets once upon a time, as a man that kind of know from the perspective of older guys, first of all, drugs got in the community from a white man. It was to suppress the community and also to control the mindset of a black man. Not necessarily a black man, just a man, period, because you put the drugs, you give me the drugs, you tell me to go sell them, I go sell them, you come, you lock me up, you take the same drugs that you put in my hand, and then you give them to somebody else in that same community and say, okay, well, you go do the same thing. If it wasn't for, because we didn't have the power or the control to bring the drugs in ourselves, so it had to start somewhere. So with that part, I don't agree with him, because he's saying it's my fault that I'm selling drugs, or you know what I'm saying, but it's my fault that I'm selling drugs, because I have that choice. I can either get up and get a job, or I can do what, you know. And that goes back to what I was talking about the other night, when I was saying, you know, it's a platform. You have to. A lot of guys grow up watching their dad sell drugs. If I'm selling drugs and that's all you see, then it's a pattern that won't change until somebody say, okay, let's stop this and get up and go to work. Now, I smoke, you know, I don't think you should. The drug thing, the law changed about maybe 4 years ago on that you cannot give the same, you cannot get the same amount of time for a big quantity of crack that you get for cocaine, or you cannot get the same amount of time for selling marijuana that you get for crack. But the thing about it is, at the end of the day, you still gonna give me time for either one.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. with that yeah. being said, either way, you give me the drugs, whatever drug it is, and then you say, well, I told you to use the drug, not sell them. So now that I can't make money off of it, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and lock you up, because I know when you get back, I'm going to make money off you this time, because I'm going to lock you up. Then I'm going to make money off you the next time, because I know every time I put you out there, you're going to do the same thing. And not only is the government making money off of the man selling drugs, the lawyers are also, everybody in it together. You got mm-hmm. lawyers that,
yeah.
that's telling this man, right. the only way I can get you off this case, you got to bring me $25,000. Now, you don't bring me those $25,000 at one time. What you do, you split it up, because anything $9,500 or over, the government going to want to know how you getting that money.
How you got it, yeah.
So
right.
what
right.
we're going to
yep.
do is, we're going to give you these drugs. We're going to let you sell as much as you can to get up that money. See, that's how they do. They watch you, and it could be years
yeah.
from now. But if
I'm
I once
sure.
I feel like you get to that certain amount of money, then I'm going to come and get you, because I know you got enough to pay me. I know you got enough to pay the judge. You got enough to pay the state.
Yeah.
It's a wash. It's a wash, but it's a organized wash from the government.
It's the same thing with them letting people hang themselves. Like, people are under investigation for years. They can get you for one charge, because they already got you on one thing. But what
right.
do they do? They sit up here and watch you make transaction after transaction, going from state to state, until they build charges against you. Once they have enough to slam you, to where they know you ain't gonna be able to get out of time, that's when they come and swoop in and get you. You know what I'm saying? And it's
right.
kind of the same thing what you were talking about. But you know, I feel like he made a valid point, but to me, you can't make that point without saying exactly how the drugs got here to begin with. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We can't skip over that part. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I do lightweight. Agree as well with him, but I'm somewhere caught up in the middle of the two. I see where he's coming from,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like I said, let's also acknowledge, you know, the whole setup of the whole thing and how this all began. Why the drugs even
mm-hmm.
enter in our community to begin with. Now, once they came into our community, yes, he is right. You know, we were the one, you know, it's all about choices. And he feels like, you know, just because it's there don't mean you have to deal with it. Don't mean you have to sell it. I definitely understand that. That's almost the same as me. Now, I don't hang out with anybody who does hard drugs. I don't do hard drugs. I smoke my little shit, but I don't do no hard drugs. So it's kind of like somebody
right.
being in my home. I wouldn't allow anyone in my home who does anything hard. But hypothetically speaking, if someone was in my home and they were smoking crack, that don't mean I'm going to smoke crack because it's there. I mean, you know,
right.
I have the choice to choose whether or not I want to smoke crack or not. You know what I'm saying? You can't make me do that. So I definitely can understand where he's coming from. And I think he was really being honest, because sometimes we do have to take accountability for our own actions as well. As Black people, we can't skip
right.
over that, too. You know what I'm saying? And
that's
a lot
all
of Black people these days want to not take, you know, any type of accountability for anything we do. It's always the conspiracy against our people, the conspiracy. But what about what we do? You have to acknowledge that as well. You can't just
well,
skip over that.
I want to acknowledge the fact that what about what is being done to us? What is causing this? because the picture
right.
is bigger. It has so many pieces to it. Like, you can't X out all of the trauma that black
right.
people are facing every single day, you know what I'm saying, in life.
Right.
From everybody.
Right.
Not just for one,
right.
one group of people, everybody. And you got to
right.
look at how it's set up in the communities, how the housing
right.
is set up. How the business is set up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
right.
harder for black people to obtain certain things than any other demographic.
Absolutely.
People. We can't just X that out to, okay,
right.
if I go to school, if I go to college and I become a teacher, I'm going to make, what, 60, 70, 80,000 a year? Is that about right? Okay.
Right.
I know
about 32 to 40.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually
okay.
probably a lot less. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what? Let's just say take their salary for a month. Let's just give them, what, 2 G's a month? This
right.
man can go make 2 G's in 2 nights and have her paycheck, his paycheck, in their hand in 2 nights. So when you give
right.
somebody that type of option, what the hell you think they're going to do?
Right.
What what do you really expect them to do? And they know 9 times out of 10, with the education that they have, that are they going to get into college? And if they get into college, who's going to pay for
right.
it?
Right.
Who's going to pay
and
for
I
it?
And, I mean, especially when you're dealing with somebody who don't know any better. You know, I mean, when you don't know any better, and this is all you've seen and been around, then that's going to be the option that you choose, because you don't know any better.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You just don't. This is so difficult because it's like a combination of so many things. Like, you can't, you know what I'm saying? It's so complex. So many things contribute to what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's not just one thing. It's so many
right.
things that,
it's
you know, that has happened, you know, and it's so hard to just focus on one thing. And like the, you know, the guy was speaking on, you know, you can't just limit it to just that. I see where he's coming from, but it's so much more than
mm-hmm.
just that. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
It's so
very complex because we've been set up from
yeah.
the from the beginning and still being
and then
set
think,
up today.
And think about this, too. When it comes down to it, in the black community, just be honest with you, the drugs that are sold or that are taken are used in the black community, you getting more time. When the last time have you seen meth or heroin, somebody that get caught with those, the one or the two, and get a certain amount of time or a lot of time for those two? And those are real hard drugs. You know what I'm saying? Those are drugs that you can blow something up with while you're making, or you can kill somebody
mm-hmm.
with.
Right.
But
right.
you don't see that, and just to take it back to what he was saying, that's a white man's drug. Meth and heroin mm-hmm. is a white man's drug. But when they get caught with it, you don't see, okay, such and such got caught with an ounce, and he got 5 years, he got 10 years. But you see a black man, he get caught with one blunt, and you giving him 10 years. So I'm like, you know, it's what they call be damned if you do, be damned if you don't. Okay, you give it to me, but then you give what they want, and it's okay. They get a slap on the wrist, but you give me what I want, and now you're going to put me in here and then treat me any kind of way when you get me in here.
Right.
That's the truth. And I saw that firsthand, because whenever my daughter's dad was going to court during, you know, his trouble he got in, you know, and I would go to court, and you would see, and here where I live, you know, we have documentaries even on Netflix about the heroin epidemic here. And at one point, a few years ago, we were the heroin, you know, capital of the United States for a while, because it was so bad. And I literally sat in court, y'all, and I watched all of these white people who were on meth and did all this on meth, on heroin. And here in where I live, it goes both ways with heroin and meth.
Now that's our cue. They're telling us to get the hell off of their line for the night.
Oh, I was like, what happened?
Yeah, they just cussed it up on us. But y'all, this is an issue that we're going to get into. I didn't want to hold people long for the holiday tonight. Everybody is spending it with family, so we're going to get ready to get out of here. We will be back and touch on these topics more and in more detail. So you guys, make sure you tune in on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. for The Other Side. And we'll see you guys after the holidays. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.